be a 10-minute speaker, so our 10-minute speaker is Andy C. from San Diego.
Hi, I'm Andy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey.
Hi, everybody. You know, I originally got here in 94, and I was done, and my kids were still small, and I was working my program vigilantly, and my life was beautiful, and I got a regular job, and I'd come home, and we had a little apartment, and I'd swim with my kids, and it was our Camelot. It was so beautiful. And as time went on, I stopped going to meetings. I got busy. I started my own business, and I thought I was doing the deal, but what was happening is my disease reared its ugly head, and I was suffering from untreated alcoholism. And as time progressed, I eventually drank again. And by then, we'd moved to Santa Maria, and it progressed to the point where I lost my house, and I was about to lose my house. My wife kicked me out. And, you know, my pain was so much that I just wanted to die. I was in a seedy motel. I was going to take my own life, and I couldn't do it. And I remember the next morning, I cried out that night. You know, I was looking at pictures of my kids. I was crying. I was racked with pain. I was mourning my loss. I was mourning everything, just in so much pain, and I couldn't do it. And I cried out that night, and I wasn't hit with no lightning bolt or nothing. But the next morning, when I left the motel, I was in front of the pawn shop, and I was rifling through my truck because I needed to get well again. And the cops rolled by and gave me a look, and so I hopped in my truck. I jammed around the corner, and I grabbed a set of blueprints off the front of the dashboard and a clipboard, and I went high-stepping into this commercial building. Like I was going there to do business, I walked right into the noon meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. So the lightning bolt arrived. I had a set of plans in my hand, a clipboard in my other, and there was this gangbanger-looking guy right next to me. He goes, "You got plans? You better cancel them, eh?" You know what? I cried, and I knew that was it. You know, God heard my prayer. And the thing is that I would like to tell you that it all changed that day, but you know, the book says half measures avail us nothing. And I would get well enough for my wife to bring me back in the house. And I was fighting the disease on my own, basically, and doing half measures and not leaning on the group and not doing what I was supposed to be doing. I had a sponsor that I wasn't utilizing. And everybody was getting well, and I was getting worse. And finally, in September of 2007, I completely had enough. The sponsor who I never utilized, I called him. I said, "I'm done." He said, "Are you willing to do anything to stay sober?" I said, "Yes." So I got busy, and I worked those steps, and I submerged myself in the group, and I made myself vulnerable, and you know what? I gave it more than a half measure. Half measures availed us nothing. You know, I stopped doing half measure to avail me nothing. I became part of a group up in Terracina, and everything changed. I come in there, you know, I came in here dragging a whole lifetime of hurts and pains and sins from the past and just mourning everything. And, you know, my life's been restored as a result of turning my life over to the care of God. And I'm on a really beautiful run now. You know, not one thing has changed. Everything's changed. And just beautiful. I accidentally came down here, you know, from Santa Maria to my mom's house to find some work. Got here just in time, and she was sick, and so I ended up being the son I've never been. I took care of my mom, and that was one of the most powerful, most beautiful things that I've ever done in my life, and it was only because of the rooms and the transforming power that happens around here. There's a meeting in Terracina, and my sister would give me I'd spend the night with my mom. My sister would give me relief in the morning, and I'd go to that meeting, and I'd cry, and I would lean on the group, and what happened was my program got strong again, and you know, my spirit man was built up, and you know, this wasn't my design. My design, all the beautiful things that I held true and pure and lovely and that were real, they would be gone. But you know, somebody else is in charge of my life, and I really know that now. And this, you know, when I. In the mid-80s, when I was working for the Navy, and I seen we had an accident on the sub-base, and a couple guys got killed, got electrocuted, and About a month later, my sister died, and I remember going up here to Fortuna Mountain, and I called God out on a regular basis. And, you know, I'm sure glad he didn't show up, but, you know, he showed up when I called out to him, and just, you know, he didn't show up to fight. He showed up when I cried, when I really, really cried out, and I needed him to. And, you know what? I'm glad he didn't show up to fight. He showed up to rescue me. And, man, oh, man, you know, my oldest brother's in the program, his daughter's in the program, my youngest daughter's in the program, and my sister's in the program. Every one of us is in. And it's just a really powerful place, you know. And it's when I'm cruising with my kid, you know, we'll be driving in the car, and I'll say something. She goes, "Dad, you need to four-step that." And I say, you need to call your sponsor, you know. But it's such a wonderful place. I'm the father I've never been. I'm back to that Camelot time, you know, with my kids. And, you know, my mom passed, and, you know, now I'm taking care of my dad. And you know what? My design was different for my life, but I'm so glad that everything's happened exactly the way it is, because I was of service to my mom, I'm of service to my dad, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a grandfather. Man, today I was at a birthday party with my grandkids, and just what a blessing. You know, "Papa, I love to laugh with you." I mean, those are wonderful words. And, you know, I just remember how sad I was before, just racked with pain, unable to function. And, you know, I keep that old man, I keep him close, and I remember him. And I don't want to become a dry drunk or a know-it-all or playing God or, you know, because I know that if I let myself, if I don't stay vigilant with my program and I ease up, the disease takes over, and the disease is not nice. He turns me into a know-it-all, and you know, I need to have props for things I do. And you know what? I've got enough service going on to where I'm staying out of the way of my own life. And I don't know how. That's not my design. It was God's design, and it's a really beautiful, empowering place to be. You know, I'm so grateful for these rooms. I'm so grateful. You know, I thought before that there was one thing that I was sure of when I was doing my half measures. You know, I'd go to a meeting and everybody was looking better and getting well, and I was getting worse, and I had these feelings and this hopelessness still, and I just, why? And I knew I wasn't ever going to get the program again. And, that was a lie. And, when I got a sponsor and I worked these steps have been the transforming power that have completely changed my life. They've restored me back to sanity. You know, I can still be crazy. I get crazy on the freeway and once in a while, and I'm just a human being, but I realize that I'm living life on life's terms, and there is hope for me today. You know, my mom's last words were, "I have hope." This is a woman that's been blind for 20 years. And, that's really, really powerful stuff from a woman who, you know, she knew she was going to die, and she was dying. But I have hope, and that little bony hand went up. And, you know, that was, that woman set the bar. She set the bar for us. And, you know, no matter what happens to me, you know, she set the bar. She set the example on for how I'm going to live, and she set the example for how I can die with dignity. I had a friend that recently that died in the hospital. I gave her a 30-day chip there. I gave her a 60-day chip, and she died at 61 days. And, but here it was again. If it wasn't for the preparation my mom prepared me, and I was able to go there and take care of her and comb her hair and, Just be of service. And, you know, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing because, you know what? There's a power greater than me that's in charge of my life. And I've been given all these beautiful gifts. And the effort I put in, I've got more gifts than what the effort I put in. And I just want to keep this beautiful new set of glasses that I have. I'm not living in a hostile world anymore. I'm living in a beautiful, beautiful place. And, you know what, I like it. I want to keep it. And it's only because of the transforming power and you guys loving me up when I didn't love myself. And you know what? I'm a new man and I love walking in the solution. I love I sponsor some people. I got a sponsor. I lean on him. I tell him the truth. I'm having a bad day. I'm struggling. I was in the parking lot when there was only about two or three people here today stressing. "Hey man, will you pray for me?" You know, I mean, I was scared to death. So I called other alcoholics and I had people praying for me. And you know what? That's what I do today. You know what? I'm not a tough guy, and I don't entertain any grandiose ideas that I'm this or I'm that. I'm just a dad. When I got here, all I wanted to, I told my older brother, he goes, "What do you want out of sobriety?" I go, "I just want to be a dad." And he goes, "You know what? That's a good thing." And that's what I am. I'm a dad. I'm a regular guy. I got a regular job again. And you know what? My life is really beautiful. The scales have fallen off my eyes. And you know what? It's this place is contrary to the world. You know, I surrender to win around here, and give it away to keep it. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful, powerful place that I'm at by being powerless. So anyway, that's about all I got. I just love Alcoholics Anonymous, and thank you for helping me heal. And